It's good to be here with you. You know, I'm really thankful for this church, for our wonderful choir this morning, for our lay readers and leaders. I don't know if you realize what a blessing it is for me to have so many people who share in the leadership of the worship service. It also, I think, helps me to be a better preacher. Because I'll study these scriptures all week long, and it amazes me how God will speak to me when someone else is reading the scripture before I preach. It gives me a chance to listen to the scripture anew before I start preaching, to hear the word just in a person emphasizing a word a little more than I would. Makes a difference. And I am so appreciative that we have so many people that participate in this ministry and the life of the church. I feel very, very fortunate. I was telling a friend about this, and they were just amazed we had so many people that shared this way in the worship experience. And I am very grateful for your participation. It ministers to me in a wonderful way. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. No, this is not another sermon on possessions. Boy, they have really been running in the scriptures the last few weeks. And there it is again. But I want to talk about treasure in a different way. Just like last week, we talked about whether we turn to God for his goodness or his goodies. The treasure that Jesus is talking about here is treasuring the kingdom. And in Hebrews, we see the great faith of Abraham, who was promised an inheritance, was promised a blessing to his life if he would leave the place where he was comfortable and go to a land where God would lead him. Just go. Leave it all and go. And just like the VCR, amazingly, he did it. That Abraham actually left. He went out not knowing where God would lead him. And he wandered. And he wandered in the promised land, not even knowing that was the land that God would give to him as an inheritance. He and Isaac and Jacob wandered there, living in tents, looking forward to a city that had not yet been built. We have that famous passage in Hebrews where we hear these words. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. See, Abraham hadn't seen this new land, but he had faith that it was there. He had hope. Now, what's hope? Well, I think hope, another way of saying it than the way the scripture said it right there, hope is believing in something in spite of the present evidence. Until the evidence changes to match the hope. Believing in something in spite of the present evidence. Until that evidence changes to match the hope. Now, how can we do that? Because of a promise. You see, God promised Abraham he was going to give him an inheritance. Now, he figured it was land. He figured it was something special. And by faith, he went out because he had the hope that that promise was true. And indeed, it was. For all of his wandering around, he was given the promised land. And he was promised that his descendants would be as numerous as the sands by the seashore. And he believed it, even though he was an old man. Even though he and certainly his wife Sarah were way past the years where you could have a child, he kept on believing. Why? Because God had promised. Abraham had hope, even though the evidence was not there. He didn't even have a descendant. How could his descendants be as numerous as the sands of the sea? But he had hope because of the promise, and he lived by faith because of that hope. Until the evidence changed. And how did it change? One day, God came through a stranger and said, "Abraham, you're going to be a father." He said, "No way, I'm an old man. Sarah's an old woman." And she overheard the conversation and she just laughed. But it was true. And they named their son Isaac, which means laughter. Couldn't believe it. But you see, God had made a promise and Abraham had hope. The evidence wasn't there, but he believed it until the evidence changed to support the hope and to fulfill the promise. He lived by faith. And we are given so many promises in God's Word. It's just unbelievable. Promises that we can count on. God's Word tells us from the words of Joshua, "Not one of all of the good promises which the Lord has made to the house of Israel has ever failed. All come to pass." And then we hear in Samuel and also again in Psalms, this God, His way is perfect. The promise of the Lord always proves true. And then the Old Testament is just full of the promises of God. The things God wants to do for us. The things that we ought to treasure. God promises us to be a refuge in a time we need to turn to Him to protect us. God promises to give us rest when we're weary. God promises His steadfast love on those who believe in Him to comfort us in our discomfort, to comfort us when our bodies are aching, to comfort us when our minds are distraught, to comfort us when distressing things come into our lives and would seem to change our lives so drastically. This God promises us the joy of life and living. God promises to us to not put to shame our hope. Because of His promises, we can have hope, and He'll never put us to shame because we have that hope and live by faith. He said He'll keep us steady in our steps, as we walk towards Him, as we live as disciples, that He will promise that sin will not overcome us and destroy us. He promises that He will plead our cause and He will redeem us because He will be with us always. These are the promises of God, just some of them from the Old Testament. Now, I don't know about you, but that's comforting to me to know that God has made all of these promises to you and to me about the quality of life we can have, so that we can treasure Him, so that we can have a part of the kingdom. And His great promise is, "My Spirit abides among you. Fear not." And as a child shared with us this morning, the greatest promise of all is that He would send Emmanuel, God with us, to save us, to redeem us, to be in the flesh so we could be assured that His promises are faithful and true. And when Jesus was ready to leave, He made us a promise. In the Gospel of Luke, he shared these words, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." You know, it's kind of interesting. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And in Acts, the first chapter, he renews that promise and says, "And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. We looked at that some weeks ago in the Gospel of John, that he told his disciples, because they were saddened because he was going to die, that he would be with them always, and he needed to go, he needed to die, because that was the only way he could send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. This was his promise. And he says, if you wait right here in Jerusalem, wait prayerfully, wait with hope, even though it seems as if all hope is gone, even though the days seem so dark because I've been taken from you, if you'll wait here and live by faith, I promise you that the Holy Spirit will come into your life. You will be baptized in a miraculous way. You see, baptism in the life of the church is the promise of God that you're a part of His family, that you receive all of the blessings He has promised since the time of Abraham. And we have so much more to believe in than did Abraham, because so many promises have been fulfilled through the ages. We have a reason to hope. Now, we can look around at our world and say, "Well, preacher, it's hard to believe in the love of God when you see how our world is today." I mean, we live in communities and neighborhoods where a lot of times we don't even know our neighbors. We don't know the people down the street. We certainly don't spend a great deal of time with them, caring about them and loving them and them loving us. What's happened to this world of love? Look at the things that go on, that some terrorist can walk into a restaurant and blow himself up for the joy of killing 14 people and wounding scores. What kind of world do we live in that we wake up almost every day and hear about someone being hit by a stray bullet because they live in a drug-infested neighborhood? Where's the evidence of God's love? You know, sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it looks pretty dark and grim. But that's why we have to have hope. Hope in spite of the evidence, until the evidence changes to support the hope. And we can have hope because God has promised us a better day, a better life. And if not in this world, in the world to come, we can live by that hope, and we can live by faith because of the promises of God. Because you see, we are really children of the promise. That's what the Scripture says. Paul tells us that in Corinthians. We are heirs of the promise of God to Abraham. How can that be? Listen to Paul as he speaks to us from the 9th chapter of Romans. "For all who are descendants from Israel belong to Israel, and not all children of Abraham because they are descendants. Through Isaac your descendants shall be named." This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promised are reckoned as descendants. You see, it is the descendants that come through Isaac. How did Isaac come into the world? By faith. By Abraham believing in a promise when he was way too old to be a father, when Sarah was way too old to be a mother, because of the promise of God, Isaac came. Because of hope in that promise, because of faith lived out, Isaac came. And Paul is telling us that it's not the physical descendants of Abraham that inherit all that God has promised. It's those who are descendants by faith. We are children of the promise. We are heirs of the promise. And Scripture tells us that all the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus. We don't have to remember all of these. Of course, I find it comforting to read them time and again. All the things God has promised to me as one of His children. But all we have to remember is all of the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus. So if you're discouraged, if life seems to be beating you down, if it looks dark right now, if it looks grim like right now because of the challenges and the difficulties you're facing, if you're experiencing sorrow or fear or anxiousness about something in your life, have hope. God is there. He's promised to be there with you. He's promised to be your comfort, your refuge, your strength. He has given you His Spirit. He is fulfilling His promises day by day so you can have hope in spite of the present evidence. You can live by faith because of that hope. You see, we can be the church that God wants us to be because it's built first on His promises. And built on those promises is hope in spite of the present circumstances. And because of that hope, we can go forward in faith. That's not an easy thing to do sometimes. But what we've got to do is not just think, faith, I've got to have faith. No, faith is built on hope. Hope is built on something you can't see. Believing in the promises of God, and God cannot lie. Hebrews tells us that God has an unchangeable character and purpose. And there are two things that are unchangeable. God cannot lie, and God will always be there to deliver us. Those promises are the foundation of our hope. And our hope is the inspiration for living our faith. Are you living that faith? Do you have hope based on the promises of God? Well, gee, if you don't, you need to go back and read about those promises. I believe it's the 13th Psalm that's got 160 or 80 some verses. I think there are 13 promises in that Psalm. There are promises throughout Scripture that God is steadfast and always true. And because of that, we can have hope. And in any circumstance, we can be people of faith because we are people of the promise. When you feel discouraged, when you're afraid, when you're uncomfortable, when you're anxious, remember the promises of God. Have hope in what you can't see and live by faith. Because just as God promised so much to Abraham and gave it to him, we are a part of that promise. And even more, we can believe that the kingdom belongs to us now and forever.